Thank God for not answering my prayer. And of course, this is a piece that we started on Wednesday night, and I want to continue. And I know it may sound a little bit strange where you're saying, thank God for not answering my prayer. I want to challenge you. I want your mind to go back. I want you to reflect on some of the things that you've asked God for. I'm sorry. Think back on some of the people that you've asked God for. What if you really would have hooked up with him? What if you really would have hooked up with her? What would have happened to you? There are some things that we ask God for, and the truth told, we have to stop sometimes, and maybe years down the road, and say, Lord, thank you.
Amen.
You ever see him or her in the mall, and you say, Lord, thank you. Woo! Thank you, Jesus! Yes, I can praise you in the mall for that one. Yeah. That's what we're going to deal with a little bit this morning, and I'll be very, very brief this morning as well. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come into your presence once again. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this place. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit that is moving. We thank you, Lord, for the increase in this house today. We pray right now, Lord, that you'll take me, set me aside, allow me to be the weak, broken vessel that I am. Pour in me, through me, your anointed word, that I may release a rhema word into this house. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we say, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, that is hindering us, Lord, from giving ourselves away to you, Lord, remove it right now. We thank you and we love you. In the name of Jesus, you may be seated. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter number 25 verses 39 through 40. Thank God for not answering my prayer. How many of us this morning will attest to, how many of us this morning can say amen to, there's been some things in life that we ask God for? And we prayed, we petitioned, we fasted, we acted a fool. And God finally released that thing to us. And when we got it, what we realized is that it wasn't all of that. Those are the prayers that I'm talking about. Thank you, God, for not answering. You remember you asked God for that mansion on the hill and you forgot the mortgage come along with it? How about that nice car that you forgot the note come along with it? How about that job that we asked God for, but we forget about all the jerks that will work around us? If that doesn't suit you, how about asking God for a mate, only to forget that the mother-in-law.
All right now. All right.
Yes, she comes along. She comes along as well. You got to be careful if your mother-in-law is here. Chuck just looked down. Just look down, Chuck. Now you have a beautiful mother-in-law. I love her.
She is a watcher.
The Bible declares that God will give you whatsoever you desire in your heart. But sometimes what we desire is not from our heart. It's from our flesh. Now we have a children's church next door. If you need to send your child, you need to go ahead and release your child right now. What we pray for, what we ask God for, is supposed to come from our spirit. But the truth of the matter is, my spirit doesn't always always lead me. I haven't got there yet.
Yes.
So sometimes when your spirit is not leading you, you're being led by your ego and the things that you want. Don't you love it, single women, when some married woman tell you to wait on your man at 4 o'clock in the morning? I don't feel like waiting. See, sometimes your body will take over, and when your body begins to take over, you'll set your spirit man, I'm just being real, you'll set your spirit man aside, and when you set your spirit man aside, what we realize is that what I'm asking God for, it's a wonderful thing that God doesn't deliver that to me. Because what I know to be good for me and what I desire may be two different things. The Bible declares when I go to do good, evil is always present. Don't you just hate it on your most vulnerable days? You see him and he looked real good. Or at night you see her walking from somewhere and she looks really good. And you know that you can't hook up, because if you do, nothing but trouble. See, you're not praying in the spirit at that time. And so what we have to realize is that our body is weak. We don't have the power to overcome what Satan sends at us. And so as a result, there are some things that God sometimes will allow us to be faced with that we feel like we don't have the power to overcome. But the truth of the matter is, we do. Sometimes we pray and we ask God for something, but what we want from God is exactly that, what we want from God, and not what God desires for us. Whatever you pray and ask God for, you must believe that God wants more for you than you can ever imagine. But I hear you thinking, so why don't you go ahead and release that, God, if you want that for me? Why am I struggling by myself? Why am I 40 and still single? Why am I going through what I'm going through? If you love me so much, why don't you move, God? And God is saying, in my time, I'll move. You see, you can't rush God. Because the truth of the matter is, God is waiting for us to get in place of empowerment, so when he releases us, we can handle what it is that he has in store for us. And so sometimes when God doesn't answer your prayer, it's not because God is saying no to you. It's because God is saying, I need for you to mature. I need for you to come up some. See, I thank God for not answering some of my prayers. If it had not been for my haters in my life, I would not have been where I am today. If it had not been for my enemies, or if it had not been for your enemies, you would not have had the footstool to propel you to the next level. If it had not been for sickness, you would have never saw God as being a healer. If it never been the bills past due, you never would have known that God can supply all of your needs. Sometimes in life, we need to begin to thank God for the prayers he did not answer. Because the prayers that he did not answer are the prayers that matured me, grew me up, and made me love the Lord. And when Mr. Wright comes by, or Miss Wright comes by, you appreciate that.
Amen.
Because you know what bad looks like.
Amen.
God sometimes will withhold or withhold some stuff so we can get in place. But if we begin to listen to our body and lusting, we'll get ahead of God. There's this young lady that we're dealing with in 1 Samuel 25. Her name is Abigail. Abigail married a man. His name is Nabal. The word or name Nabal means folly or fool. So I'm sure Abigail was looking at Nabal. And as he walked by, he had a great position in society. He looked good on the outside. Everything looked good on the outside ain't necessarily good for you. See, there are some cars that have a very nice paint job. Unfortunately, it doesn't run. There are some people that you look at, they look good on the outside, but on the inside, they jacked up. Sometimes you won't get that in dating. Sometimes that you can push that aside until you get married. And then when you get married, then it's like the real person comes out. And so that's why you can't walk by sight. You put asunder. In other words, let no man separate what God placed together. Now, there are four biblical reasons for divorce. There are four biblical reasons for divorce. Now, if I'm talking about getting married and relationships, why am I talking about divorce? I'm talking about divorce because half of all marriages will end in divorce.
All right.
If you think that's bad, about 63% of church folk relationships will end in divorce. I think the problem is we don't submit one to another. Notice I said one to another. It's not the woman submit to the man. It's submit ye one to another. Where I'm weak, you're supposed to cover me. Where you're strong, I'm supposed to allow you to flow in that place. And so we cover one another when we come together. But the first thing we look at is I want out, and we look for a divorce. Number one reason for a divorce is adultery. That is when you cheat on someone, when you're unfaithful to that person. That's a biblical reason for a divorce. Number two is abuse. Your body is the temple of God. And so God has not placed you in a relationship where you become a punching bag for someone else. Abuse is a reason for a divorce. Number three is addiction. That is, I'm strung out on drugs, alcohol, or whatever. If I'm addicted to something and I'm not in my right frame of mind, then that's spirit of witchcraft is over me. And when that spirit of witchcraft come over me because I'm addicted to something, you can watch out. Ain't no telling what I'll do to you. The fourth reason for divorce is abandonment. Abandonment is when he just refused to pay the bills. He just refused to do whatever. He just walks out of the house. God is not calling you to place your life on hold until 50 years later when he decides to come back home.
Right.
Now that we understand what divorce is about, now we can look at relationship. Now, when you begin to look at relationship, Abigail looked at the wrong thing. How can you marry a man and his name is Fool? What did you expect to get from Nabal? What did you expect to get from him? When you see a guy and they call him player, what do you expect from him? When you meet a woman and her name is Peaches, you know what you were got. I hope there's no peaches in the house. And the Lord said to us, God will always give you warning signs in a relationship. And so the warning sign for Abigail was his name. And so what Abigail should have expected was he was going to do what his name said he would do. In the Bible, names represents character and integrity. You name people based off their destiny. And so when she found him and he says, my name is Nabal, she should have ran because she should have known that relationship was going to be foolish all the way through. But instead, she looked at the social position. She looked at his standing and she married the wrong man. And when she connected with him, then she realized she couldn't change him. Listen, you can't change someone in a relationship. Only God power can change someone. If you marry someone says, I don't like this about him, but he's going to change, you crazy. You the fool. If you think that you're going to change something. As a matter of fact, I can tell you when you get married, expect it to get a little worse. She married a fool. And when she married a fool, what she discovered was that his life was going to be about foolishness. Isn't it something when the head of the family is leading the family in a foolish direction? And then we say, man, woman, why won't you submit to me? How can she submit to you when you know what the club looked like, but you don't know what the church looked like? How can she commit to you when you can play the lotto and play everything else, but you can't pay your tithes? How can she commit to you when you're sending the family in the wrong direction, but you will not bring them to church? What a woman wants, and let me tell you a secret, what really turns her on, bring her to church. Let her see you praise God. Let her see you submit to God. That's a man. That's a man. Let her see you in the presence of God and saying, God, I want the very best for my family, the very best for my children. God, open up me so I can be a vessel for you so that you can pour out and I can be a blessing to my family. Abigail found herself dealing with a fool. And so as she began to deal with this fool, one day David was in the pasture and he was taking care of all of Nabal's sheep. And so David says, I took care of your sheep, and to summarize it, I want you to now give my men some water and some food to eat. And Nabal, being the fool that he is, what he prayed and asked God for indirectly was, David, I don't care anything about you. I'm not giving anything to you. And David said to his men, girdle up, we're going to go and we're going to fight. I like David because David is a lot like we are. Don't you have some folks in your family, you say the wrong thing, they'll fight you in a minute? I got some folks in my family, they'll cut you in a minute. You know, they're just bad people. And that's who David was. David says, listen, we'll fight because I've done good to you and now you're going to insult me in that way. And so David gets his men, they're on their way to see Nabal, and they're on their way. Abigail runs ahead of David and she says, listen, I pray that you'll hear me and please don't kill my husband. I know he's foolish, but don't even do that. And she says to him, give him to the Lord. And when she released that situation to God, God walked in and God began to take control. Watch this now. When you come to the preacher, you says, till death do us part. And so there's two types of death that you refer to. There's a physical death when your spouse dies, and then there's a spiritual death when he does adultery or abuse or abandonment or something like that to cause separation in the relationship. And so what Abigail said was, give him to the Lord and God will take care. And so here is Nabal, the one that is so big, so bad, he's back home, doesn't know that David is coming to kill him. So his wife comes back home after she made arrangements with David not to kill him. He's drunk, having a party, acting like he's all this, and his wife has more wisdom than he does. So the next morning she wakes up and she says to him, you remember what happened last night? And so Abigail begins to tell him, well, last night, David was going to come and kill you because you refused to give him bread. And the moment that big, bad Nabal heard that, the Bible declares his heart stopped. Isn't that something? You ever meet people talk real bad, as soon as it's on, they freak out. He had a heart attack. 10 days later, he died. Watch the story. He's dead. Now Abigail is free to marry whoever she pleases. You may find yourself stuck in a situation, turn it over to God. I guarantee you God will work out whatever situation you're in. And see, when God begins to work your situation out, sometimes we like to hold on to things and God is saying that person can't go where you're going. See, sometimes it's nothing wrong, it's just where you're going is so right. God has to make sure that whoever's around you is equally yoked with you. God doesn't want you to raise a fool that is called a spouse. So every now and then God will step into your relationship and God will free you. See, I thank God that some of the things that I've been praying for, that God is saying, boy, you really don't need that. I thank God that God knows all and God who sits high and look low know everything that I need. So God will step in and then all of a sudden God begins to revert Abigail's plan. She was headed in one direction, but God allowed her to meet a man that came in a path from somewhere else. Who you need, God is saying, I'm sending him. You just keep walking to me. You just seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. I'll put him in your path. Young ladies, you don't have to go man shopping. He'll come find you because you purifying you. That just fucks you out. Because what God has put inside of you, he needs that inside of him. And so here is David. David sends a word to Abigail. And the word that he sends to Abigail, he says, I want to make you my wife. Isn't that something? You go one day from being married to a fool to the next lady being the first lady.
Okay.
Just like that.
Hallelujah.
I know it took you a long time to mess yourself up. But thank God it doesn't take him a long time to straighten me out. I'm glad it doesn't take God very long to fix what I'm broken. I'm glad that I serve a God who's a God of a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. I may mess it up the first time, but I thank God he's giving me another chance. I need to talk to some folks this morning who blew it the first time, but came to serve a God of a second chance. A God who says, I'll turn it around. Now God reverted that situation. He changed that thing. And when he reverted it, he pointed her into a different direction. When she began to walk in a different direction, because what she said is that David called, and David looking for a wife, the Bible declares she hasted, which means she didn't wait. She hurried up to get to David. When something is good, you hurry up and get to it. You gotta get this. And so she went to David. When she went to David, she was free to marry David. And David took her to be his wife. Now what she had broken the first time by getting ahead of God, God says, now daughter, this time.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
I need to talk to some folk this morning. When you messed it up the first time, on the second time, this time, you won't fool me like you fooled me the first time. This time, you won't get me like this. This time, I'll be careful in my choice. This time, I'll pray for him before he comes. This time, I'll ask God to send her. This time, and when he comes or she comes this time, you know God is connected. I don't know if you know this, but God is in the matchmaking business. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. God knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you can take. And God is saying, just wait on me. I know it's getting lonely at night. And I know you're tired of them sanctified folk who telling you when you have to throw one leg out of the bed to just wait on the Lord. God knows your struggles. God knows, you understand what I'm saying. God knows what you're going through. But if you wait on the Lord, he says, I'll renew your faith. And see, when you wait on the Lord, you understand that you as a woman, you're a virtuous woman. Any old joker can't handle you. 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 See, along the way, the first one thought he stopped you, so he left you. All he did was teach you how to go out and make the bacon and sign up too. I need to talk to some strong woman that knows how to do it. But watch this. You're not so strong that you can't submit to your David when your David come back. Be strong. But when your David come by, it makes no difference if David only makes 20,000. If it's your David, take up 20,000 and let God bless it, and God will do supernatural with your natural. When your David come by, all you gotta do is submit to one another. When your David come by, all you gotta know is you got a peacemaker in your house. When your David come by, all you gotta know is that the bills is gonna be paid. When your David come by, he may not look like somebody else's David, but he's your David, and he's anointed for you. We serve a God of a second chance. A God that sometimes when we pray for something, he'll sit back and he'll let us blow it. I mean, he'll let us jack it up. And when it's all messed up, then here come God. And God is saying, now just turn it over to me and watch me make you everything in your life that is wrong. Watch me fix it. Have you ever had something in your life life was all wrong and you say, I'm just going to sit down. And then when you sit down on God, it seemed like God really stood up on you. And then it seemed like God went to moving. The little unemployment check that wouldn't make it, all of a sudden it began to make it and you had some leftover. Single parents, I need to talk to you. 2-3 children, raise them by yourself. You know the bills didn't calculate right on the paper, but somehow God put his love in the math and somehow it all worked out. Fathers, I need to talk to you that somehow they tried to push you out of your child's life, but somehow you were determined to hang in there, baby. I need to talk to you. Grandparents, I need to talk to you who says all over that God is saying, but your ladder shall be greater than before. I need to talk to a child of God who's been down and out, and when nothing else was working for you, and you didn't have any family to turn to, you didn't have anywhere to go, you found yourself down on bended knees, couldn't even stand up in your secret closet. You begin to talk to the Lord. Why make a way out of no way? Why be a bridge over your troubled water? Isn't he a better line? Why won't he make a way? Have you ever tried the Lord? Why supply your needs? Ain't the Lord all right? Why make a way out of no way? Have you ever tried him? Why make a way? In the midst of you going through something, when you feel weak, when you feel out, he says, I challenge you just to begin to praise me. It's something about praise that when you begin to praise, God knocks on your door. God shows up in your life. When God shows up, he has a tendency of showing out all by himself. All of a sudden, the bills are paid. All of a sudden, the wayward child comes home. All of a sudden, you meet your man. God will make a way out of no way. He says, if you praise him. If you praise him. Abigail said, I married a fool. And David knocked. David said, First Lady? And she said, that was too quick. Listen, watch this. Nabal had a stroke. The Bible declares his heart turned cold. He stopped breathing. 10 days later, she goes from a fool to being in a relationship with David. Just 10 days. Some of you have been dealing with some issues for a long time. I came to encourage someone this morning that it doesn't take God a long time to fix it. Weeping may endure for a night. Joy. I'm not talking about happiness that is predicated on something happening. I'm talking about a joy that is connected with Jesus. If the bills are past due, I still got joy. If you walk out of my life, I still got joy. If I'm in a hospital sick, I still got joy. I know you may leave me, but he said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. And if he'll never leave me, I don't care much about you walking out. Because if you walk out, all you did was make room for my David to walk in. Walk out if you want to. As a matter of fact, I've been waiting on you to leave. Because I got somebody already in mind. Time. I got ahead of God and I got tangled up in a foolish relationship. But this time, I'm waiting on God. And this time, we're going to be equally yoked. And this time, we're going to pray together. And this time, she's going to come to church with me. And this time, we can go hand in hand. And this time, she'll cover my back. And this time, I ain't got to worry you taking something. And this God.
Thank you, Lord God.
Abigail could have went, and she could have ended the relationship. She said to David, she says, my Lord, get this. She says to David, she says, my Lord, I know you women today don't get me. Because equal rights has fooled you. Abigail says to David, my Lord, submission, reverence. She says, my Lord, let your Lord work it out. You don't get that. She says, you don't even have to touch him. My Lord, turn it over to your Lord.
Right.
10 days later, he's gone. You see what God can do in your life? You don't have to get involved. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I will repay. And everything that you've gone through while you were waiting on God, he says, double for your trouble. Everything that you lost, he says, hastily, I'll give it back. Doesn't take God long to put somebody in your path and they revert you, change your direction. And when they change your direction, God flipped the script. He flipped the script. So what you need when you meet him or her, she got what you don't have. Now together, we're whole. God will flip the script in your life. Let us say it as we prepare to move deeper into the Holy Communion. I want to talk to someone this morning as we open the doors of the church today.